tonight I would like to be brief, and I want to bring to you one aspect in our walk with God. As I was studying these texts, I said to myself, there is nothing worse in our Christian walk as God's people to have a religion that has a form but denies the power of God. In another way, to have to walk with God and not to be aware of his presence, and not to be aware that he is with us, and not to have that confidence. So it's something the Lord will want to press on our hearts today, that we are to be mindful of the fact that God wants us always to know that he is present. And in different ways, he would want us even to feel his presence, even to hear his voice, even to know his company. And that is not too hard for God to do. And that is what he intended from the very beginning, to be in the fellowship with man. And that is why when he placed Adam, he placed him in the center of the garden. And he had an intimate relationship with him. And that was what really the enemy didn't want to do. And he will always not want that. He will try very hard to cut us off from walking intimately with our God. And why I'm saying all this? Because the text we have in 1 Kings chapter 8 is about the completion of the temple that Solomon was building, chapter 8. And now they are moving the Ark of the Covenant to be in its place. That is what the Bible is saying. So these people, they will want to bring the Ark of the Covenant of God to be in its place. But before they could move the Ark of the Covenant, we see the preparation for that. That now the temple is built and now the Ark is to be brought, but there is an arrangement. God always has his heart on the elders of the people of God to be the people to be tasked by carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark speaks of God's presence with his own people, so that his own people will have a relationship with their God, Yahweh, God who is in relationship with his own people. And that is what really the Ark is symbolizing. And so here, God in the midst of his own people, and God always will be in his right place, always, even in the midst of his own people, also in the right place. How many religions today that are claiming to be coming to God and seeking God in the wrong places, isn't it? So we see the parallel here, that God always in his right place. And he wants his own people to come to him in the right place where he is. And so here the right place is represented by the Ark of the Covenant. And this Ark contains the Ten Commandments, the covenants, conditions. God and his own people, and hear the word of God that is to govern God's relationship with his own people. That is why the Ark has a special place in the covenant that God has with his own people. Well, as I mentioned, the elders here, where they are called, they are summoned, King Solomon summoned into his presence at Jerusalem, the elders of Israel. And then we read this word, all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the Israelite families, to bring up the Ark of the Lord's covenant from Zion, the city of David. So here, Zion, the place that God chose to be his dwelling place, actually. That is what God has decided. God is choosing Zion. And Zion and Jerusalem, they are used interchangeably. And so we take this up as Christian, that Zion or Jerusalem, they speak of God's people themselves. You see, God in the midst of his own people. And so we have here all the heads, and then we are told also all the men of Israel in verse 2, all. You see the words all. It's saying here the king has peace, So he is reigning and there is peace in the city of God. God's present with his own people, bringing unity among God's people and submitting to the king that God has anointed for him so that God can dwell in the midst of his own people. We know divisions, if they are there, they really hinder the blessings that God's people can enjoy, even the unity that we can have with our God. But here, the emphasis that all the people who were meant to lead God's people coming together under their king, under God, coming together and God in their midst. What a picture. And so God has designed this, that all the heads of the tribes and all the elders and all the priests coming together. And then verse 3 says, when all the elders of Israel had arrived, the priests took up the ark. Here, now they can only act after they have made these preparations. Because now onward, God's people will have to come to the place where the ark is also in order. So now the ark is going to be placed in the Holy of Holies. We need to remember, there is in the temple, there is the Holy of Holies, the holy place, and then you have the outer court. So, and here, the ark is going to go into the Holy of Holies. So if you read from verse 4, after that, verse 4, the priests and the Levites carried the ark of the Lord and the tent of meetings. So the tent that was in the desert, so they carried the tent. The tent was the meeting place also. You see, and in the tent, people were coming and meeting with God. And you know, even when they were Eldad and Medad, they didn't come to the meeting, to the tent of meeting. They were outside in their own small tent. And then the Spirit of God just came upon the tent of meetings. And also even came upon these two elders who were not here. And you read the history when Joshua saw that these two elders who didn't come and unite and came and submit to Moses as their prophet. So he was jealous. And he said to Moses, why you don't rebuke these two elders? And then Moses said to Joshua, are you jealous for me? I wish that all the community of Israel really prophesy, because these two men were prophesying. And so, but God has kept that. So the tent here was brought also, become part of the furnitures that are pointing to the meeting of God with his own people. And that is, things have not changed even to this day, even though the fulfillment has come. And we know that now we don't have a Holy of Holies where we go. But the Holy of Holies that was there was pointing to the dwelling place of God, isn't it? And now we know that God has not dwelt in places made by human hands. But God is in heaven, and he is present with his own people. And when we come and we enter to meet God through all the sacrifices, in the past sacrifices, people were through the priests, we're coming to the Holy of Holies, but today we come into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy of Holies was pointing to the dwelling place of God, and God's people were coming in faith that through the prophets, because the provision has not been yet fulfilled, that the promise is not fulfilled. But there it was provisional, and it was working, and it was blessing God's people. So they had that faith. But they had to be careful. It was not open for all because the sacrifice of all sacrifices was not yet offered. Isn't it? So now what they were doing in faith, they were offering sacrifices just before the Ark of the Covenant. They were rejoicing, and God in his mercy and grace was revealing his mercy and his power to his own people, sustaining the covenant he has made with them. You see, I don't know whether the modern man really loves tangible things. And I think they love really tangible things. And it's part of the reason many people are put off from a God that they don't see. And they resort to signs that they can experiment and things like that. But we like the Old Testament saints. You see, we are called to believe only in the promises of God. And the promises of God are true. And they are spiritual. And so they bring blessings and joy to the hearts of believers. So now the people were just going in processions and they were offering sacrifices because the Ark of the Covenant is going to its place. And God's people now, they can worship. They can bring and confess their sins to God. So now we are told the priest then brought the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the place. And so the Holy of Holies. And the emphasis I want to put more was the fact that the most holy place, when they put it there and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, over the place of the ark, and overshadowed the ark and its carrying poles. So that was not revealed to everybody. So it had to be accessed really carefully. So God is a holy God, and man has to fulfill certain conditions of the covenant. And so the man is still a sinner and cannot come closer to God, and he is not allowed to do that, only through the means that God himself has provided. And so we are told these poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place in the front of the inner sanctuary, but not from outside the holy place. And they are all still there today, that time. There was nothing in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. So the first things we see here also, the covenant renewals. God was working with his own people. So the redemptive purposes of God unfolding through the history of God is of God's people journey. And God is always the same. And so even we, in our day to day, God is still involved in completing our redemption. I don't want to jump to the conclusion. But here God is renewing the covenant that he made from the very first place at Horeb with God's people. And now in verse 10 we are told, when the priests withdrew from the holy place, after they put the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, and they withdrew to the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The cloud filled the temple, the presence of God. God was so pleased to come and to make himself present and known to his own people. And the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. There is nothing will flood and will cause the heart of a believer to rejoice more than knowing the presence of his God. That is why I said, if there is anything that I want to leave with you today, is that God delights in making his presence known. And in our gatherings as Christians, we should not really come short of knowing his presence whenever we meet, like God's people here. They were offering sacrifices of praise to God of Israel. God has made covenant with them, and they saw his glory. When they did everything in order, when they feared him, only the elders, and we know also the elders were just called, gathered to be with the king. Only the priests and the Levites to carry the Ark of the Covenant, because they were the people who were set apart to do this. See, they were the only people to handle these sacred instruments that were pointing to God. For no one can come closer to God. No one can touch God and live. Then, that God was providing for fellowship with his own people. He's always, his heart is to be with his own people. And then the place was filled with the glory of God. Do we experience this? Do we know his presence? And how do we know his presence? You see, whenever we meet, or when we are called to in our own places, we desire to be in his presence, isn't it? We used to have a song, I love to be in your presence with your people singing praises. I love to sing and rejoice, lift my heart and praise the Lord. So my friend Lee taught us that song again. He was a gospel writer, a very humble man. So I love to be in his presence. So whenever you want to be in his presence, you enter into the throne of God, isn't it? So that is what Don read to us in Hebrews 4. And in Hebrews 4, again, the idea of the same picture that is here, the Holy of Holies and the priest and the high priest entering before the people and presenting offerings for God's people so that God's people can know the glory of God, that God can come into the midst of his own people. That is exactly what they did there, and Jesus came to fulfill this. And the writer to the Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest who is not sympathetic, but he entered into the Holy of Holies himself. And the Holy of Holies is not made by a human being. He entered into heaven, our most high priest, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a sacrifice that was sufficient for the remission of our sins and for our justification and for our salvation. He made it and is so clear, fully. He finished this. He fulfilled all the covenant requirements that the Old Testament saints were looking to. See, Jesus Christ, he smashed all things. He made the presence of God accessible to us and his glory. And so all that is required of us is to have faith. Faith that we can enter into the Holy of Holies to find help in the time of need. Whether we need comfort, because the journey is tough, isn't it? Many are battles. Many are the desires of our hearts to see people coming out of bondages. And we know in our own strengths we can't do. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. So we need his presence to do this, isn't it? That is why the invitation for us is we have an access to enter into the presence of God, because we have a high priest who has opened it up for us to enter into the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is heaven himself. Can we go to heaven from here? Yes, we enter into heaven through our prayers. You see, we come and we stand before God, or we bow before him, and just that moment we are in his presence. That is why we are to be mindful of his presence. A religion that is devoid of God's presence is not the Christian faith that we are given. Next week I will be preaching from 1 Peter, and I'm trying to just to preach only one verse. When Peter said, I don't know how I can do that, but I'm wanting to do this, because Peter said, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, a faith that allows us to enter into the presence of God and to know him and to touch him. Apostle Paul, just to know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, and just to know God and to know his presence. So let us not have just a form of religion. Let us not have just a religion that delights in like buildings and even worship. We come and we finish 2 hours, and sometimes we just look at our watches and we just want to go home and say, but even when the Holy Spirit is moving and wants us to soak in, to sit in his presence, and as we sit in the presence of God, what happens? The great exchange takes place. So we just get rid of our sins before him. We confess, we repent, because God is with his own people. And in the presence of God, there is nothing evil can remain. No heart can remain untouched, not to worship and not to wonder of the presence and the glory of this amazing God. And it is a mystery. But our hearts should be just wanting to be in his presence and to know him. And so all the time. And so that is what really these people were doing. Because they were just in a city. The city that God said he will be his city. The city of David, the city of God. And you all know that I have Isaiah 62 is close to my heart. And Isaiah 62, Isaiah was crying out saying through the Holy Spirit that for Zion's sake, for Jerusalem's sake, he will not be silent until the righteousness her righteousness is established. And today, as God's people also, so let us desire to have God in our midst always, to have Jesus Christ manifesting his presence all the time. Even if our great problems are not solved. You see, Moses said, O Lord God, do not move us You see, to the promised land, if you are not coming with us. You see, there was nothing that could really replace God himself. There's nothing should replace him in our walk with him. That is what he wants us to think about today. In a fallen world like this, there's nothing can satisfy our quest for glory. Because that is what we were made to. We are made for glory, isn't it? Transformed to the likeness of Jesus. Filled with the Holy Spirit, given these scriptures. Whenever we read, and we just delight in the word of God. And through the word of God and through the prayers, God uses us, isn't it? So he sends us. We go and we sojourn and we live in other nations like our brother John. You see, Christians just sacrifice their lives, gave up their careers just to go, to tell others all that you need, the presence of God with you. When God, who is the true God, in his right place. So that is why I said, yeah, the Lord in his right place. The Lord in his place. So let us seek him in his place. You see, not anywhere else. You see, you can't find God anywhere else. Only in his place. And so we should, and we know we have been shown the way, isn't it? We have been shown the way. We know the way. And we can never go astray unless we decide to do so. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will not allow us. Many years ago, I was watching a movie. If I watch it again, I think I won't understand it. And it was a guy, he thought like he had a magic in his hand. He was playing gambling, isn't it? And so, and then he would say like his hand would just like lead him to where he is going to have a lot of luck, maybe. You see, and so he would just like follow. His hand would just move that way. You see, so we have the Holy Spirit to lead us to the right place, you see, like that man. Maybe it's not a perfect illustration, but we are not to be deceived by any other thing to lead us astray, telling us that God is here. In pantheisms, 10,000 gods, isn't it? You see, the religion of Islam, you have to do certain things and then you come to God. So, and there are many ways to go. Actually, they claim that there is one way, but there are many ways, even for the Muslim, to come to God, you see, or to come to heaven. You die on Friday, they said, or if you die with a stomach ache. So there are many theories, you see, by which you come to God. So I don't think that is the right way. So we have one way, we have one place to God as Christians. And so that is, so the task is made so simple for us so that we don't try harder. But all that I want to leave with you today, let us desire to have God in our presence, in our midst, because we know he is in his right place. And Jesus Christ has opened this for us. We can never get lost, can never be defeated. We may feel, we might feel the battle, it's hard, you see, and toss around a little bit, but we know where we are going, and eventually we will get there. Let us have trust in our God and faith in who he is. And in his presence he has made open for us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. I'd like to pray briefly.